T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great to have you along. My final hour right here and now, because coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, Matt Steimitz and Kerry Keating have Warriors warm-up from over at Oracle. The weather outside was frightful, so we kept ourselves on this side of the bay here in our studios ahead of tonight's game against the New York Knicks. No Derrick Rose, no Carmelo Anthony. That's hardly the New York Knicks, but indeed it's on the schedule. They'll be paying tribute to Craig Sager, longtime beloved broadcaster who finally today passed away. He lost his battle with cancer. Needless to say, the entire sports world has reached out to share their condolences and memories of Craig Sager, who was a universally liked figure in the world of sports. Each week, we get to talk to a 49er player from inside the locker room. It's brought to you by Stevens Creek Toyota in San Jose. Now available, the all-new fuel cell vehicle, the Toyota Mirai. This week, we get to talk with 49er linebacker Aaron Lynch, who really is one of the best players on the team. Aaron, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks very much for joining me. Damon Bruce, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. I know it's been an incredibly frustrating season, so we just got to open up with how are your teammates doing? How are you doing? How's your locker room?
Everybody's doing good. I mean, I can't really talk for a lot of people individually, but as far as what I see is that nobody is off track of what the mindset is. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, we're 1-12. It is what it is, but I mean, as far as how the spirits are, everybody's still in high spirits. I mean, you know, nobody likes losing. Nobody definitely wants to be anything where we are. But as far as how the locker room is, everybody's still close together and, you know, happy.
How important is it for you, some of the other guys who have been around the block now in the NFL, to keep younger guys focused and not kind of get their daubers down because it's been such a rough initiation?
Yeah, I mean, like, we tell them, like, you're going to be a part of something that isn't perfect every time. You know, you're not always going to be an undefeated team, or you're never going to be on a team that every time that, you know, wins all the games. You're going to have ups and downs in your career. I mean, I know it's my third year. My first year we went 8-8. You know, last year we had a losing record, and then this year, you know, you already know what it is. So, I mean, we just tell them, you know, keep going, keep setting your goals, keep trying to strive for your goals, because, like, I mean, you have no control over, as an individual, you have no control over how the season goes, how the record goes. It's a team game. So as far as, you know, how we keep the guys, we just tell them to keep going, keep pushing. Don't really look at the record. Just keep playing for, you know, the team and keep doing what you got to do.
You've had a nagging ankle injury. It's kind of been hanging out with you all season. How you feeling, and how much has it held you back?
Obviously I've been out a couple of games, you know, I've won more than a couple of games, but as far as, you know, the pain's still there, you know, high ankle injuries. I never in my life thought that an ankle injury would have kept me out, because I've had ankle injuries before, but I never had a high ankle and I didn't know how severe they really were. But as far as how the process is going, I mean, I feel a lot better than I did last week. You know, I still got to get treatment every day because there's still a little bit of nag, but as far as how everything's going, it feels good. I mean, it kind of sucks to be hurt, you know, even with the record, how it's going. It, you know, it really sucks because you just want to go out there and play football and have fun. But, I mean, it's a work in progress.
I would imagine, Aaron, that at some point in time, the only joy you get out of the year is by going out and to hit somebody. And so when you can't even do that, it gets really tough.
Right. Yeah, it definitely does.
We've got Aaron Lynch from the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. Tell me a little bit about what has gone wrong defensively. There have been a lot of games that have left people scratching their heads. Have you guys been put in the wrong scheme, or are you putting it on yourselves with the technique? Where has the biggest defensive disappointment hit you?
I feel like it's definitely the technique, because I think the scheme, as you can see, is when we run the scheme the way it's supposed to be run, like, we're unstoppable. But it always comes down to technique. You know, when you're tired and you're down, like, you got to go to technique because, you know, you're going to be tired during a game or things aren't going to go your way. So you always got to rely on technique. So, I mean, you know, we've missed tackles. We've been out of our assignment, you know, more than a few times. So that's really what's been hurting us. We've been really hurting ourselves. The scheme, I feel like it's a great scheme. I mean, our Jim O'Neill lets us go. You know, he doesn't hold us back. He lets us go. And so it really just comes down to, the technique and, you know, just doing everything the right way.
Another guy who's been jumping out, certainly playing more now than ever before in his rookie season, is DeForest Buckner. What do you see when you look at that young man?
Man, I see a freak of nature. I mean, I thought I was big for my position, but he's a massive. I mean, he, you know, he can play. I mean, the kid's a baller. You know, he's young, like everybody their rookie year. You know, not everybody's going to be a straight-out pro bowler. But, I mean, in the future, next year, the years after that, I feel like he's definitely on the right track to become one of the best players, one of the best D-linemen in 49ers history and in the NFL. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great person to be around. He's always in high spirits. I don't think I've ever seen him really mad as far as, like, when he wants to go after somebody. He's just awesome all-around person and player.
I know you're focused on the task at hand, and you don't start looking at next year until this year is over. But I think next year you're going to have even more responsibility than this year. You're clearly one of the best players on the team. You're definitely the best pass rusher on the team. And I think that you need to grow into a leadership role, whether you're asked to by a coach or a front office member or not. Great players have to lead. You got to lead by how you play. Are you already thinking ahead to how different your role might be as a leader next year?
I don't think I've thought ahead of that far, just because, like everybody knows, you don't know how the NFL is. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But I know that this year I wanted to really take on that role. But obviously, you know, I got into a little trouble in the beginning of the season, and I've been out all these weeks because of an ankle injury. I really want to be a leader on this team. You know, and the way you do that is just by, you know, you got to do everything the right way. And by the looks of things, I haven't done everything the right way just for the fact of, like, you know, I got myself suspended for the first few games of the year. So, you know, that's hard. But to answer your question as far as next year, I want to get through this season and get through it well, healthy. I want to win some games. But I'm definitely going to try my best to take on that leadership role. You know, I just want to come out here and do – I just want to play – I'm doing it. And, you know, that's really – being taken on a leadership role is all about how the guys respect you, and they got to give you that leadership role. You know, you just don't say, I'm going to be a leader, and there it is. You know, you got to earn it, and that's definitely one of the things that I've started already trying to build now and then to lead into next year.
Aaron Lynch of the 49ers here on the Damon Bruce Show. You know, you very candidly opened up the door to it. How important is it not to beat yourself up too much as you're sitting there suspended? I'm sure you're very upset with what happened, what you did to invite it to happen, but you can't sit around and beat yourself up. I mean, do you have to kind of like forgive yourself, or do you need your team to come up and forgive you? How does that work mentally?
It sucked like hell, you know, to sit at home, sit in my recliner and watch games on TV. That's probably hurts the most, because you just want to be out there with your boys, your best friends out there playing football, you know, doing the thing you love to do the most. But, I mean, you know, I've forgiven myself for what I've done already. I can't let that hold me back, because, you know, in life you're always going to have up and downs. And I feel like God has always – He's always going to put an obstacle in your way, no matter how at the top you are or how low you are in your life. So, I mean, that's just another obstacle I had to take on. And, yeah, I did it to myself. But, I mean, that's the past. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think really much about it anymore.
When it comes to the future, do you think Chip Kelly returns next year as your head coach?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. I mean, you know how the – the NFL works the way it works. You know, I have no say on who's going to stay or who's not going
to
stay.
If it were up to you, would you bring him back?
Yeah, I would, for sure. I mean, I love Coach Chip. He's a great person. He's a great guy. I think he does great things. Like I said, these games, we have beaten ourselves out of these games. I don't think it has anything to do with the coaches, really. You know, we'd be beating guys in the beginning of the game, and then, you know, we kind of get out of our technique in the end of the game, and we kind of – I don't think anybody gives up, but as far as we give the game away because, you know, we just shoot ourselves in the foot. So I think Chip will still be here. I want him to be here. I know a lot more guys feel the same way because Chip is a good guy. He does great things for us. So I believe he'll be here.
As we look for bright spots in what's been a really long year for you guys, it was easy to see Carlos Hyde jump out of that Jets game. He was a beast all afternoon long. I'm sure he was upset that it came out on the wrong side of the win-loss column, but he had without a doubt, that's the best game of his career so far. What do you see in Carlos Hyde that makes him different than the average running back?
I mean, you got to think, Carlos Hyde, he has it all. You know, he's got, for his size, he's got speed that a lot of guys his size don't have. He can break the long runs. He definitely can break the tackles. I mean, we've seen it numerous times this year when he's played. He's ran right through guys. Carlos Hyde, he's going to be one of those other players, you know. Like, it's only his third year. You know, he's been having to fight injuries throughout all our years together. I think with him just being healthy, and he's healthy now, I think him just being healthy, he's going to be one of the best running backs in the league because, I mean, he's shown it. Guys that do what he does, they don't stay at the bottom. They don't stay at the middle. They stay at the top. So he's definitely one of those guys that'll be one of the greats.
When the holidays hit, what do you got coming up for you underneath the tree? What are you going to put under somebody's tree? Let's talk presents. Let's talk shopping for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much, but, you know, I got the newborn, so it's kind of hard to buy for a baby. But, yeah, I'm buying a lot of toys this year. I got a stepson. He's 9. And, you know, I'm just trying to get them all the toys in the world so that when Christmas is over, Daddy don't got to go out and buy all the toys again.
Nice.
So I'm just stockpiling everything. You know, making sure my family has everything they need. And me and my fiance are going and doing other things outside of our family. So that's some good stuff.
Very nice. Your fiance, a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, I just got married. Are you doing the wedding planning right now?
Yeah, we don't know if we're going to actually have a big wedding. We're going to have a big ceremony. But as far as paying for a wedding, we don't think we need to pay 20 grand, 30 grand for a huge wedding. You know what I mean? So I think we're going to, you know, just get, you know, have our pastor marry us, but then we're going to have like a really big party for the whole family, all the families to get together.
That's what you
kinda
do.
Like a big old reception.
Yeah, you know what? The best thing you can do is throw a party, and then in the middle of the party, you kind of turn around and you get married, and then you trim all the fat out of the wedding that slows down the party.
I got you. Yeah, you're right.
There you go. I'll give you a good wedding chalk talk. Like, I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. I've been through it. Aaron Lynch of the 49ers, we've been asking every one of your teammates every week we talk to them, what is the last thing, either on Netflix, HBO, wherever you watch, whatever you watch, what is the last thing you power watched? Which series did you plow through?
Oh, The Walking Dead and The Vikings, for sure. Those are my two shows.
Okay, so everybody knows about The Walking Dead, and I liked it too. You're the first person to talk about The Vikings. What's good about The Vikings?
Oh, you don't know the Vikings? You know, the Vikings, you know, back in the darn, those times where they had guys coming off ships, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, I know what a Viking is, but I'm saying I haven't seen the show. It's a really good show?
Oh, yeah, it's an awesome show. I mean, I think it's something you'd definitely be into, you know. It's all about a king and how he comes from being not the king to taking over throne, to having all this power, to finally not having the power. His sons kind of have power. His ex-wife kind of has power. He's trying to get power back. And that's where we're at right now, where he's just trying to get his power back. I mean, it's pretty badass. I can't lie to you.
Nice. I'm in. I love it. It sounds like a little Game of Thrones to it, too. I like it. Yeah. I'm gonna check it out.
History Channel, for sure.
I will check it out. Aaron, thanks an awful lot, man. It was good to talk to you. I know it's been a really, really frustrating year. I hope you guys get through it the rest of the way healthy, and the best of you back next year for another go at it. But, Aaron, thanks very much, and happy holidays.
Thanks, brother. Happy holidays to you too and your family. God bless.
Thank you very much. Aaron Lynch of the 49ers. Nice guy to talk to. You know, it's funny. The reputation that he had coming out of college allowed him to drop to the 49ers. He had first-round talent, you know, but he dropped because of a reputation. He had to transfer. He had problems in Notre Dame. Ends up getting out of South Florida. You know, character questions, red alert kind of guy. Sounds like a pretty good guy to me, man.
Very cool
really,
guy.
Really good. It was nice to talk to him. Appreciate him stopping on by. Very honest. Didn't run away from the fact he got suspended. Didn't pretend. Didn't want to gloss over it as if it didn't happen. Sounds like he's growing up. Sounds like he's growing up an awful lot, and there's no doubt if you're looking for guys you can go forward with in a Niner uniform, he's one of the 10 guys that I would bring back. Everybody else has proven themselves easily replaceable. That's one of the few guys you bring back, without a doubt. He would have an awful lot of interest on an open market. You bring that guy back. So good to have him stop on by. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. We've got Bill Romanowski coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be talking to him about Raiders and Chargers down in San Diego this weekend. We already had our friend Darren Smith, who is a host down in San Diego, join us to talk about how the Chargers are basically a MASH unit right now. Their offensive line is banged up. Melvin Gordon's done probably for the rest of the year. Even though Darren is a host who's covered the Chargers for years, he can't recognize guys' name on the injury report, much less the actual depth chart. So it is a virtual who's who of the San Diego Chargers. And that should go a long way to the Raiders picking up a win, which if they do this Sunday, they're in. They're in the playoffs. And obviously, already people want much more than that. And why not get a little greedy? But just to get in there, just to get it done would be fantastic. Then you worry about the gravy like, hey, and if we keep on winning and if the Chiefs stumble, if the Broncos fall down, we can end up still winning this division.
Yeah.
Still could happen. So we'll see what ends up happening. It should be very, very interesting to say the least. Somebody here is like, Damon, get in on the Vikings. When I asked him about the Vikings, I should have said, no, Adrian Peterson, he's coming back this week. What do you think?
I'm excited. Someone loved The Walking Dead. That's like one of my favorite shows. And I watched The Talking Dead. I'm obsessed with it. So that was very cool.
Can I ask a critical question?
Yes.
How could you still be into the same show every week? It's the same thing every week.
It's not, though.
It is. I was out after three seasons of Walking Dead. I'm like, I get it. Life sucks. You might get eaten. Whatever.
It's an apocalyptic zombie invasion. It's awesome.
My whole point, I still don't know why the zombies happened. Is it ever
well, that
revealed?
Hasn't been answered. No.
Oh, and so nine seasons in, they still won't get to the how did all this start quotient of the show?
I think that's kind of a hard answer, too, because they're just trying to stay alive. So, yeah, I'm sure. I've read some of the comics. I kind of try to keep up with where the show is because I don't want to go too far to give away spoilers. That's how much I love the show. So I'm sure at some point they'll address it. I know there's Fear the Walking Dead, and they sort of kind of begin with kind of how it all started, but you don't know specifically what's causing the turn when people die. But it's a good show. It's a good show. This season's very good. Negan's like one of my favorite characters.
No,
I love hating him.
Who?
Negan. He's like the bad guy.
No, see, I got out before Negan, I think, got in there.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's new to this season. Or I would say last season, the survivors. Or the saviors. Excuse me, the saviors. Anyway, I could go on and on about the Walking Dead, Talking Dead.
I was out as soon as they met the badass woman who like had two zombies on chains.
Michonne? Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got to like the cult place and they were finally in a safe spot. Like everyone was kind of safe. Like you were at least behind a wall that was going to protect you.
The prison or like the governor's?
Well, no, whatever. Either way.
They were in a safe spot.
All they do, they spend the entire show looking for somewhere safe to be. And the minute they get there, they start leaving in individual something bad is guaranteed to happen groups. Like it's the same formula every single week. Hey, three people,
fair.
Don't leave the huge group because nothing good ever happens, not never.
Fair enough. But what I think is interesting now is you're finding all these other little small colonies and cells
factions
popping up. And you just kind of see how they all sort of intermix and kind of, you know, deal with each other. So you see how the world is changing, and it's not even just about the zombies anymore. It's really just about how they are surviving with the humans in this crazy
zombie
world.
After three seasons, I was like, okay, if you're not going to advance any plot point, it's just a constant struggle to find the next meal, the next place to sleep. Like, I'm done.
Fair enough. I mean, that is something people do say about the show, that it's kind of the same formula here and there, but the characters make it. You have these new characters, and they just kill off people left to right. It's like Game of Thrones. You fall in love with someone, and then they're done. They're out. They're dead. They get eaten by a zombie.
Is that Glenn guy killed. Still around? Everyone like Glenn.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but...
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Eat their faces. End the show.
The Vikings looks pretty good, though. I just looked it up. History Channel, BBC documentary-type drama.
I just, you don't think to yourself, like, hey, this week's episode was just like last week's episode, with the exception
of, David,
instead of leaving Camp X to go get eaten stupidly, they left Camp Y to go get eaten stupidly.
It's not. There's so much character. Like, there, you get a lot of the people the last couple of seasons and who they are and how they survive. And, you know, some people turn bad and turn on each other. It's interesting. Imagine if that really exists, if that was really something we lived in, if there were zombies walking the earth. You know, when the zombies come, I have a contingency plan, and you're going to want to be my friend because I will be well prepared with all the Walking Dead episodes I've seen. So there.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to walk into the field of zombies and just join the crowd. I'm just going to be like, go ahead, eat me.
The comic books, though, I will say, are really good. They're probably a little bit better than the show itself.
Wait, you read the comic books too?
Yes. I am a geek for the show. I watched The Talking Dead. Love Chris Hardwick.
Didn't realize I was working next to Mrs. Malorkus over here.
Settle down.
Dorcas Malorkus.
Settle down.
Mrs. Malorkus in her comic books at night.
Proud of it.
Oh, my. Jeez. Okay. Walking Dead comic books for Gianna in her downtime. Who knew? Who knew? When we come on back, we're coming back with Bill Romanowski. We're going to talk to him about what the Raiders got to do to beat a very beatable Charger team that, for whatever reason, seems to play its best game whenever they see the silver and black. That's coming up next. Our buddy Bill Romanowski here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome on back. Boy, we certainly struck a nerve with a little Walking Dead here on the text line. We're not going to just go back into it, but obviously this is a show people feel very strongly about, no one more so than Gianna.
I love it. I love the show.
You just don't seem like a big fan of apocalyptic scenarios. I'm surprised.
Kind of a junkie for like the zombie vampire type. I read World War Z. Yeah, I love Star Wars. Yeah, I kind of a little. Yeah, it's all good though.
There's a show that I haven't watched a minute of. It's not a show. I think it's a movie. But they did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Was it good?
It was good. It was actually really. Those girls were badass.
So, speaking of badass, we're trying to catch up with Bill Romanowski, but we have called the phone and he has not answered. So we'll see what happens. Bill has 28 minutes to join us because coming up at 6 o'clock, we are going to pass the baton over to Oracle Arena. That's where Matt Stymets and Carrie Keating are waiting in the courtside club, hobnobbing with the well-suited and seated crowd. Hobnobbing. Damon, what is the name of the song you just opened your segment with? The name of that song is Sun. The name of the song is Sun. It's by... Two Door Cinema Club. Nice. There you go. So there you go. People love the jams, man. People ask. So we do try and answer whenever we can. Oh, the Crown Royal Club. Excuse me. The broadcast will be coming from the Crown Royal Club.
Fancy.
This is nice. Ron Bruce loved the Crown Royal and Coke.
Aww.
Loved the Crown and Coke. He did. So Carmelo Anthony was going to be in the house tonight, and I thought that I was going to spend quite a bit of the show trying to sell you on the fact that Carmelo Anthony is among the least appreciated, totally legit, awesome, smooth players to watch. But there's nothing for me to sell you because tonight Carmelo Anthony will not even be playing. Carmelo Anthony with a sore right shoulder and Derrick Rose, a sore lower back, both unavailable tonight. You know, I really think that as we now live in the rest world culture that the NBA is obsessed with, you're going to see a lot of teams taking off. Let's call it Warriors-itis. You're going to see a lot of people suffering from the Golden State agita, and they just cannot go that evening. It's going to happen, I think, more and more often. The one guy that you can count on showing up, he's not afraid of anybody. After all, he's got his own Latvian rap song. Kristaps Porzingis, he will be there.
Keep calm like Kristaps Porzingis. Keep calm like Kristaps Porzingis.
Double, double, triple, double.
Keep calm like Kristaps Porzingis. Keep calm like Kristaps Porzingis.
Mājas krietni īsāks, no Latvijas un tikpat bīstams, un viskas virsū tas ir īstais, esmu
What's funny is What's funny is I've never known more Latvian than I do right now thanks to this song. We've listened to it so many times, and the more you listen to a song, you hear the little things, the nuance, the details. The best part of this is there's someone in the background going,
Kristaps,
that you don't even hear until like your 30th time listening to it. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much, Bouton Vixen. Yeah, dude, so Porzingis, he recorded double-doubles in the first two opening wins of the current road trip that the Knicks are on right now, and the guy really is a matchup nightmare. Not only can he beat you got going to the low post, he can beat you with a mid-range, he can beat you with an outside shot. The guy plays a little bit of defense, too. He just recorded his career-tying 7 blocks in the loss against the Phoenix Suns. The Knicks were coming in here rolling a little bit until they lost. He had a career-best 34 points. No, excuse me, that's one off his career-best. His career-high is 35. He had 34 in the loss to the Suns. New York had won 4 straight on the road and 6 of 7 before the loss to Phoenix. And, you know, look, this was a game that I really kind of wanted to see because I wanted to see this Knicks team with Derrick Rose and Carmelo in person kind of playing together. I'm not even going to be heading over there now tonight. Looks like we're going to see a moment of silence, though, yes, for Craig Sager, who will be honored by the Warriors tonight. Warriors warm-up, of course, coming up at 6 o'clock. I think Steve Kerr might even address the crowd and say something that has been shared with us by Gary St. Jean when we talked to him. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. There's some people listening to the Porzingis song for the very first time on the text line, and needless to say, they're as excited as we were the first time we heard it.
It's good.
It really is absolutely amazing. It is Rio night. There is no doubt about it. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson are all going to be picking up their Olympic championship rings in a ceremony featuring Jerry West, the former gold medalist himself, and USA Basketball men's national team director Sean Ford. Raise your hand if you ever thought that you got an Olympic ring along with your gold medal. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, is it new? I have to look it up. I'm curious.
I have no idea where the whole ring thing started. The only time I ever heard about an Olympic rings is if you were talking about like all 5 of them on the flag, like the symbol of the Olympic
right.
rings. I never knew that you got a. I wonder if it's Olympic rings brought to you by Jostens. Don't Jostens make all high school rings? I think they do. It's like, pick one thing and be the best at it. Jostens chose high school rings. Carmelo Anthony, I don't want to say he's misunderstood, because I think we all understand. This guy is happy taking the most money available to play on a questionable team. He would never cut off his own earnings to join a better team. He had that opportunity. He stayed in New York to make max dollars instead of going to Chicago, where he might have been paired with Derrick Rose anyway. Carmelo Anthony, when it comes to the Olympics, though, he's one of the great Olympians we've ever seen in terms of Team USA basketball. He is the second, no, he's the top scorer for Team USA in history. By the way, Kevin Durant, he has now scored the most amount of points in Olympic history in a single Olympiad, two times in a row. Actually, he had more points in London. He had 156, and he scored 155 points in Rio, so he was 1 point away. But Porzingis, you know, that guy can play. He is very, very good, and he just bowed up. I don't know if you saw this one. He bowed up and got in a shoving match with Suns rookie Marquese Chriss. That kind of made its way around SportsCenter. I like it when he's got a little, like, Latvian anger in him.
Keep calm like Christopher's and yes.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. So, he is going to have to be a one-man wrecking crew tonight in order to get the Warriors even thinking they might lose this game tonight. No D. Rose, no Carmelo, and let me tell you, no Steve Kerr, that is the best decision he ever made, not going to the New York Knicks. There are a lot of reasons to go to the New York Knicks. Number one, Phil Jackson. It's a guy who gave Steve an awful lot of his knowledge, built up an awful lot of his reputation. There's also, and you can say whatever you want about Phil Jackson as a team builder, he's someone that Steve Kerr, he's going to give Phil his full attention whenever he asks for it. Phil was very good to Steve Kerr. I bet it was tough for Steve Kerr to say no. But when you looked at the comparison, when you start comparing rosters, like what environment do I want to walk into? The Knicks might be, if it weren't for the Niners, the most toxic team in professional sports. Like, it's bad. It's bad around the New York Knicks and has been for a really long time, and rightfully so. It's been a horrifically run franchise. Steve Kerr told his buddy Phil Jackson, thank you, but no thank you. And decided to come to the Golden State Warriors instead. There might not have been another time in a moment in basketball history where someone would have chosen the Golden State Warriors over Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Steve Kerr proves once again, sometimes the choice you don't make is the best choice you're going to make. Not going to Phil in New York. Look at what's happened to Steve Kerr now. Steve Kerr got off a championship in his rookie year, 73 wins, and went to game 7 in year 3. Or excuse me, in year 2. Is that good? Is that a nice start to a coaching career? Not bad. Not bad. What do you think Jeff Hornacek is doing right now? How happy is Jeff Hornacek? Well, he's probably very happy. He's gotten the coach. He's a head coach. And he's done a good job. The Knicks are better now than they've been in a really, really long time. But, I mean, the Knicks being a little bit better is hardly the same feather in the cap as a title and a record already for Steve Kerr. What a choice he made. Let's talk to the Chad in San Mateo. How are you, Chad?
Doing well, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Gianna. Gina says hi. I was listening to the Aaron Lynch interview. Great interview, by the way. Definitely watch the Vikings, but I was thinking of a comparison between the Niners and the Warriors, and I'm thinking the Warriors with Don Nelson, they had that fast-paced offense, didn't play a lick of defense, and that's the Niners today, where the Warriors today are the Raiders. They'll outscore you, and if they play defense, man, watch out. I also want to get your thoughts on that comparison.
Well, it's not bad, but I mean, the Warriors are almost impossible to compare to anybody, certainly with an up-and-coming team. Like, the Raiders would love to be respected like the Warriors down the road, but they got a long way to go. I see where you're going with it. Like, hey, half of this is so good that half of this can overwhelm you. And if it all comes together, good luck with that. And I do feel that way about the Raiders. Like, that is the formula we've been waiting to see, but we're still kind of waiting to see it. The 1 week that the defense showed up, the offense forgot how to throw the ball in Kansas City. They have yet to play a full game on both sides of the ball where it feels like the Warriors are always playing a full game all the time on both sides of the ball. And the defensive concerns of the Golden State Warriors are so over-exaggerated that I mean, thanks for the call, Chad. I appreciate it, but I just think you're reaching to make a comparison more than there really is one. Because one team is without a doubt the scariest thing in its sport, and the other team is like...
still trying to get there.
Is hoping to punch its first playoff ticket in 12 years.
Right.
There's a little bit of a difference.
Hi, Gina, by the way.
You know those people?
Yes.
Oh, you're
my friend's boyfriend.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, thank you, Chad. How's Gina look? Seriously.
Gorgeous.
Nice job, Chad.
Yeah, Chad did real good.
That's why he's known as the Chad. When we come back, it looks like we're going to have open lines. We can't catch up with Romo. Someone's like, is Bill still mad at you because you guys fought on the air? No, not at all. Bill and I are way cool. He is a pain in the rear end to get on the phone, though. He really is. I love Bill, but God, it's tough to get him on the phone for a regular
Okay.
Student. Okay. Okay, Bill. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Okay. 888-957-9570. It might be Romo. It might be you. Let's find out together next, shall we? As we wrap up the Damon Bruce Show ahead of Warriors warm-up, which starts at 6 o'clock tonight here on your home of the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game. You know what I love? Bill Romanowski owes us one now. Let's talk to Bill tomorrow. See if we can make that happen. Just saw from Steph Curry's Twitter account, he's going to be wearing shoes tonight, Gianna, that honor the ghost ship victims. He'll be wearing these graffiti-style shoes that have ghost ship written on both of the outer soles of the... These look like low-top Steph Curry's. He looks like he's going to be rocking low-tops tonight.
That's cool.
But he's going to be auctioning these off afterwards for Oakland Fire Relief, and he says, together we are hashtag Oakland Strong, and then provides a link, I guess, where you can go and bid on those. It's fantastic.
It's really nice.
Good job, Steph. Good job. You know, little touches like that, showing that you care about your local community, mean an awful lot. And, you know, if the Raiders weren't around here to do that, it'll feel like it'll just be part of the emptiness of them leaving. It really, really would be. You know, teams and communities are very, very important rallying points. Where do we have rallying points without these teams? What is the one thing everyone in Oakland, everyone in San Francisco, you know, has in common? It's the teams we root for, the teams we pull for. And it really doesn't matter that person X was highly educated and very successful. Person Y might not have gone to college, might be unsuccessful. But the thing we all have in common together here, it's not our religion, it's not our families, it's not our backgrounds, it's not where we all root for this.
Yeah.
We are behind this. And that's why I think this, what we do, although incredibly disposable, is also incredibly important. You know, I'd never say, you know, you should skip meals to be a sports fan. But at the same time, it's outside of the food that we talk, you know, like it's the one thing that so many people have in common.
Absolutely.
Even though you have nothing else in common, it's the one thing you have in common. It's the rope that everyone can pull on together in the same direction.
It kind of makes you even.
Yes.
You know, your fandom's just as important to the person next to you, and regardless of where you come from, you love one thing together.
And I tell you,
that's
what's cool about the Coliseum, and it's not cool about Levi Stadium. Levi Stadium is basically, you know, this section is Bel Air. This section is Beverly Hills. This section is Malibu. The rest of you live around the greater Los Angeles area. You know, it's just there's no, like, we're all in this together. At the Coliseum, we're all in this together. There's a community there. Now, here you go. You just got somebody trolling. Steph Curry's a joke. He's not genuine. He's all about himself. That's an instant block on the text line. Good job. Congratulations. Here's the thing. If you're going to troll, you got to be better than that. You got to come with a little bit more delicate and nuanced. You can't be so heavy-handed to where within three words into your sentence, I'm identifying you as a blockable jackass. The best troll is not playing the cymbals, marching down the street. The best troll has a triangle in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. See, I'm even telling you how to troll better. This is a full-service program.
By the way, more schools are popping up. We talked about Edmonds. Tom, the Wake Forest from yesterday.
Oh, yes, yes.
More schools are popping up saying that they also received information from him.
Virginia Tech came clean today. Yeah. Yesterday it was Louisville. Look, shame on the ACC. I mean, I'm a big believer if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But that comes right up to the point where the cheating is quite like that. When the whole phrase, it ain't cheating if you ain't trying unless you're cheating, like that sort of thing. That whole phrase is born out of your own actions, what you're doing to get an advantage. If what you're doing is business with a team's Benedict Arnold, that's disgusting.
Tom Elrod. Sorry, I couldn't remember his name.
Todd Elrod.
Is Todd?
Todd or Tom?
I think it's Tom.
Benedict Elrod.
Anyway, still fascinating.
Let's go to Dave in Palo Alto. Since it's his birthday, Dave, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, right on, guys. Hey, you guys made my day. Appreciate it, Dave. Appreciate it, Gianna. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, Dave, what do you think about players sitting out? You know, you had the incident yesterday with LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. You know, they took the night off for rest. They didn't really travel with the team for the matchup with the Grizzlies. So, from my opinion, I think it's a disservice to those fans that paid the ticket in advance to see those three guys. I think what the league should do is, you know, they need to cut the 82 games down, maybe the 72, so there's no back-to-back.
Here's what we need to do. We got this problem solved. Hopefully they solved it in the CBA. They just need more time. They don't need less games. They need more time. So add 15 days to the beginning of the schedule. Add 10 days to the end of the schedule. Grow the season availability about 25 days. It's not the back-to-backs that chase people away. It's the 4 and 5s. 4 games in 5 nights. 5 games in 7 nights. Stretches like that are what drive teams to rest players. So if you eliminated those scenarios, I think we're going to eliminate players looking for nights off. And I think the NBA owes it to its fans and itself and its product to make sure that this style of this fashion statement that's happening all over the NBA doesn't become something we see all the time. It's rest is so fashionable right now. I think teams are doing it just so they look more like the Spurs more than they actually need rest.
And it's funny. Kyrie Irving's 24 years old, and he needs rest.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Kevin, Tim Duncan wasn't resting in his first decade of his career. That happened in the second decade. It is nuts. Look, LeBron, he's got miles on his tires. I get it. He needs a night off. There's a part of me that understands. But LeBron, we saw him take the month of February off last year, basically go out and have, you know, patty cake with Dwayne Wade instead of traveling with his team. It's just weird, man. It's just weird. Remember, you used to have Bill Russell flying coast to coast in coach, eating his own knees, playing every game.
Happy birthday.
You've got guys right now. Guys right now who are so well pampered, so well taken care of, do a hell of a job taking care of their own selves. It's nuts. There's way too much rest as fashion in the NBA. J-Mac, East Bay, final call of the afternoon. What's going on, J-Mac?
Hey, Bruce, how are you, my good friend?
I'm doing well.
Great, great. Hey, Bruce, I've called in a few times when we chatted before. And, Bruce, you know, you played with my heartstrings. You said something that really struck a chord in my heart. You said, you know, about the Bay Area. I kind of missed what you were saying in essence because I tuned in at the last minute. But you said about the Bay Area getting behind something. And I want to kind of suggest this. We got the Ronnie Lott group who's really putting forth the effort with the city and the county to really potentially put a deal together. And, man, Bruce, I need you and your colleagues to really get behind this and kind of really push, you know, kind of put, you know, use your power.
Here's the thing, J-Mac. I appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it, and I wish I had any power in terms of helping this deal out. But here's the honest to God's truth. The Raiders want out. If you offered them a solution in Oakland, they'd probably reject it. That's how mentally divorced they are as a franchise from the idea of staying here. Although Scott Osler did report today that Mark Davis's mother doesn't want the team relocating to Las Vegas, which is, I think, an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah.
I don't know if she gets a vote anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure she doesn't, but I thought that that was an interesting thing that that Scott Osler worked into his column today. But I think the Raiders want out to the point where the only way they're staying is if they're forced to. And it won't be because Ronnie Lott came up with a good idea, because the NFL has already basically said, we don't like the Ronnie Lott idea. What the only shot you got is 31 other owners saying to themselves, Mark's idea of the best path for this franchise isn't the best path for our brand, and we're not going to let him do it. That's the best shot you got. Thanks so much to D. Orlando Ledbetter, Roz Goldon Wude, Gary St. Jean, Darren Smith, Aaron Lynch for joining us. Romo, you owe us one.
Okay.
Thank you very much to Gianna. Thank you, Albie. Thank you very much, Bouton Vixen. Do I have to run out right now? Do I really got to go? Can I give these Cal tickets away right now? I got Cal basketball tickets to give away. They're taking on the Virginia Cavaliers at Haas Pavilion, Berkeley, Wednesday, November 21st. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. I got a pair of tickets for you right now. And if you want to pick up some, you can at calbears.com. But Santa Bruce is leaving you with a chance to win Cal tickets December 21st against Virginia. You can call now to score a pair of tickets to the game, 888-957-9570, caller number 5. Good luck. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Warriors warm-ups coming up next. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.